Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we lift up our voice in praise and thanksgiving unto Thee, the only true and living God. Father, we are thankful that Thou art a living God to whom we can approach with our prayers and petitions, one that we can trust will hear our prayers and answer according to Thy righteous will. Father, we count it a great privilege to be able to assemble at Your house this day to worship Thee, and we pray an outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit that we might be separated from the cares of this life and from all those things that might disturb us, and that we might set our full affection upon heavenly things. But Father, just draw us into Thy very presence that we might behold Thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We are thankful for each one assembled here, Heavenly Father, and pray that Your rich mercy and grace would abide upon each one. We are mindful of those who are not able to assemble with us, those who are confined to their homes and hospitals and nursing homes. Father, we ask You to visit them and supply their needs, but we pray that You would restore health when it is according to Your will and restore them back to this house of worship. Father, it is a day that is set aside in the nation to lift up prayers and petitions unto Thee. But Father, we pray that You have heard our voice every day, and that You are mindful of our needs and our condition, and that, Father, You will supply our needs. We ask that You bless this nation, Heavenly Father, that we be turned back to godly paths, and Father, that You would overthrow those wicked men and wicked forces that come against this nation, and help us always to be free to worship and to serve Thee. We pray for those who are in places of authority. We pray for those who defend our freedoms. We pray for all those who serve the public good, and pray that You'd bless and protect each one. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd bless us in our efforts to worship this day. I pray that You'd bless me to preach the gospel, bless each one of us to hear, to understand Your message, and bless us to walk closer to Thee in days to come. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, the 91st division. I want to read this entire psalm, and I know that time won't permit an in-depth study of each individual portion of it, but I just want to see the force of the message here that is presented to us. Psalm 91 is not identified in my Bible as according to the author, circumstances, or anything else. But many of the old Jews regarded this, and I'm sure you're aware that the Psalms are songs that were sang in Israel's worship service. And many of those Psalms were responsive. They'd have the choir divided. One side would sing a portion, and the other side would sing a portion, and then their voices would blend together. But many of the old Jews regarded this as the words of David. And the first verse being David's declaration, then they say that the second verse was David was speaking to Solomon, and Solomon responds to David. And then the next verses down to about the 14th verse are David's assuring Solomon, or giving Solomon assurances in the Lord, and those that are the Lord's, what they can expect from Him. And then the last three verses would be the Lord speaking and verifying what David had said. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I know the psalm would fit that pattern. It could be that the writer, the psalmist, whoever he was, makes an initial declaration, then he gives his personal response to it and reflects on the assurances that God gives. But however it is a psalm of assurance for us, and I believe we need assurance today. There have been many times in the past that I just stop and say, well, what's the world coming to? And of course, this week there have been several times, you know, what's the world coming to? I have never known such uncertainty as we face today. This morning I read a couple of different articles supposedly by medical experts. And one of them said this virus is a real threat. We need to take it very seriously. We need to follow all the government guidelines and all those other things. Then the next article by a medical doctor said this is all blown way out of proportion. That this is no more serious than the flu, which affects this country every year, and thousands die from the flu, and so we don't need to get excited about it. So who do you believe? We have come in this country to the place that we don't even trust our own government. At one time, when you read something in the newspaper, you regarded that as fact. It's not that way anymore. So where do we go for our answers? Well, you know as well as I, we go right here to God's Word. So I pray that in this Word of God, we can find comfort and assurance. Psalm 91, beginning at the first verse, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now let me pause. Just picture in your mind that this is David making this statement. And then Solomon, hearing that statement, says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." And in having affirmed his trust in the Lord, then David goes on to give him the assurances of the Lord. "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet." And then this is the Lord's affirmation of all that. "Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." As you know, a portion of this is attributed to Jesus Christ, and Satan misquoted this passage of Scripture to Jesus in the temptation of, in the wilderness. And the psalmist said, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." So we know that this speaks in one sense of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or speaks concerning Him. But it is also concerning the one that is described in this passage of Scripture. Now, I want to emphasize that this is not addressed to every believer, every professing Christian. I hear the television preachers from time to time talk about all the promises of God, and they say that, you know, you just claim that promise. Just take hold of the promise and it'll be yours. Well, most of the promises in the Bible are specific. And this particular psalm, notice, it is addressed to He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, that's not talking to everybody, but only to the one in that particular relationship, and I'll try to go into that in just a moment. So, if you're not dwelling in that secret place of the Most High, this doesn't apply to you, does it? But the Lord tells us how to come into that secret place. If we're not there now, there's a way that we can get to that secret place in a relationship with God. So, even though it might not right now apply to us, we can make it apply to ourselves. And then, in their language, we can claim the promises. What is this secret place of the Most High? And I tend to believe that He has reference to the Holy of Holies there in the temple, that place where the Ark of the Covenant rested, where between the cherubims God had promised that He would meet with His children. Now, I hope you understand that nobody literally lived in the temple. And in that Holy of Holies, no one came at all except the high priest once a year. So when we talk about somebody dwelling there, we're talking about a figurative dwelling in that place. In the Old Testament days, those worshipers went into the temple, into the tabernacle, or later the temple, by a representative. They had a priest that would take their offering and offer it on the altar. Then they would go into the holy place and burn the incense to offer prayers. As their representative, they went in. Well, we have a representative that has gone into the true Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But there are promises made to those who dwell in that secret place. In the 27th division of the Psalms, Psalm 27 and verse 5, and this is identified as a Psalm of David. David said, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." So in that pavilion, in that secret place of the tabernacle, that place where God dwells, David said, "There I can find assurance. I can find the protection of the Lord." As I said, we have a representative that has gone into the true Holy of Holies, into heaven itself on our behalf. We find in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter these words. Hebrews chapter 10. I read first of all verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin." Now, let me pause here. The sacrifices that the priest made was not intended to take away sin. It reminded Israel of their sins. It looked forward to the true remedy for their sins. But it removed those sins in a ceremonial sense, in the fact that they felt their sins forgiven and they could come before God to worship. But until the perfect sacrifice was made, they were still sinners, as we all are. And then verse 12, when it talks about this man, it goes back to verse 10. It talks about Jesus Christ. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So our great high priest has offered that one perfect sacrifice, all that is needed to take away our sins. Now, down to the 19th verse. "As a result of that," the writer says, "having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. So we have access, we have boldness, we can come into the very Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, we can go to God Almighty with our prayers and be accepted because of our high priest. So when the psalmist talks about the secret place of God's tabernacle, I think he's talking about one who is in a relationship with God, who on a regular and even constant basis goes into that Holy of Holies, goes before God in prayer. Now, as I said, that's who this promise was made to. And if we don't fit that profile, if we don't feel ourselves to be abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, we need to humble ourselves and repent and turn to God and pray unto Him. And then, again, as the TV preachers say, then we can claim, then we can be assured that these promises apply to us. Now, let's go back to Psalm 91 and the second verse. As I said, some believe this to be David has spoken to Solomon and Solomon replies. Others believe that David has written this and then he reflects upon what he said and then he makes a commitment. We don't know. It might be a completely different psalmist who's made this declaration. But I see verse 2 as being, first of all, a personal commitment. There's a promise that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That being true, then I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Because I have the assurance that I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I will commit myself to Him. So I see it, first of all, as a personal commitment. I see it, secondly, as a personal testimony. That God's children need to make this declaration. You know, the world around us is running around crazy. It's almost humorous if it wasn't so sad that people are hoarding toilet paper. And, you know, I spoke to someone yesterday and I talked about how foolish I thought that was. And he said, well, I went to the grocery store and I bought some and, you know, everybody else was buying, so I did. How foolish. We need to have a personal testimony that I am going to trust in the Lord. He is the one in charge. I have made the personal commitment and now I'm making the public declaration. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I pray that our national leaders have the wisdom to do what is right in this situation. Whether they do or not, it makes no difference. I trust in God. He is in charge of all these things. Verse 3, the psalmist said, surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The snare of the fowler is an unseen danger. You know, the fowler, that's the one who hunts birds. He sets a trap. If the birds was aware of it, they'd avoid it. And so if we could see the dangers, we would avoid them. But there's so many things in this life that we cannot see. But we depend on God to deliver us from those dangers. And then it talks about a noisome pestilence. And that's any kind of destructive thing, the diseases and plagues and all those things that come upon God's children. Now, let me be clear about this. Throughout the Bible, God has used those things as His judgment upon sin. And we have no reason to doubt that that's the same thing that God is doing now. And you know, we've been scared by all kind of different diseases in all these past years. And maybe we got a little bit scared, but we didn't get scared enough to turn back to the Lord as a nation. And you can be sure that when God sends judgments, those judgments are going to come until people repent. So, if you would turn with me in the book of Leviticus, in the 26th chapter. And I would encourage you to read the first part of this chapter. And it is all the blessings of Israel when they are obedient to God. And I heard a preacher make a statement that I'm sure I was aware of, but I've really never stopped to think about it. That God is a God of balance. You know, everything about God is in balance. So God gives all these blessings for obedience. Then He balances it out with all the curses from disobedience. See, it's in balance with God. So the first part of this chapter gives all the blessings of obedience. And then on the other side of that, I begin reading Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 21. God said, "And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins." Now, when you consider our nation, and God said, "If you walk contrary unto me," would that fit the United States of America? Have we been walking contrary to God? We probably need to bring it down even closer to that. What about the church? Now, we don't like to think that we've been walking contrary to God. But can we say with assurance that we have not been walking contrary to God? Can we look at our actions and take the Bible and say we're doing just what it says right here? Or can we look at our actions and find a place in the Bible where it says, "Thou shalt not"? We need to be very assured that we are walking with God, even though I think we'd all testify that our nation is not. We as a church must be. In verse 22, he says, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways be desolate. Now, I don't know of many cases where what we would call a wild beast is destroying our children. But, you know, I look at Facebook just about every day, and there'll be 2 or 3 missing children alerts on that. And I know that that's probably all over this country. But it's more common than we're aware of, that children go missing. Many of them are found, thank the Lord. Many of them are never found. In many cases, bodies are found. But it's because God's people are walking contrary to Him. Verse 23, "And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary to you and punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you're gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hands of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. Ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all of this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins." God's judgment has to come. And upon a nation that has been walking contrary to God for so long, judgment has to come. And there have been many, many things that I believe are God's judgment, and we have not turned. And these plagues are going to continue until we turn to God. Now, this psalm gives us assurance. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Does that mean that you're not going to get this virus that's going around? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that if you get it, you're going to live through it? Well, not necessarily. But God's going to take care of you, regardless of what happens. You know, I'm not too afraid of this virus because I realized a long time ago I'm going to die one of these days if the Lord delays His coming. I may die on my way home in a car wreck. I may have a heart attack before the day is over. There's so many things. I may indeed get this virus and it may kill me. And in the overall scheme of things, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I have assurance of where I'm going. And I have assurance that I'm going to be right here until the Lord is ready for me to go home. And as long as the Lord leaves me here, He has a purpose for me here. And I'm going to seek to fulfill my purpose in the Lord as long as I live. I am concerned, but I'm not scared. I'm not worried. And I'm going to assure you, trust in the Lord. You do not need to worry. Be careful? Yes. Be sensible? Yes. But fear? No. Fear is how men control us. And I think a lot of this fear is just for that purpose, so that they might control us. God is in control. Yield yourself to His control and trust in Him. Let me read Psalm 91 again, beginning at verse 4, the assurances. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. There's a picture there of the mother hen who gathers the chicks under her wings. Nothing can happen to those chicks unless it goes through the mother hen first. When God shelters us under His wings, nothing can happen to us that He doesn't suffer to be so, that doesn't come through Him first. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, that speaks of a plague, of a pestilence, and you see people dying all around you. We will see people dying. We've been seeing people die with the flu. We've been seeing people die from heart disease and all those other things. We're in the Lord's hands. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. Thou shalt thou trample under thy feet. The Lord gives assurance of His protection to those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The ninth psalm is a psalm of assurance to those who are in that close and wonderful relationship with the Lord. Psalm 9, beginning at verse 1, says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praises to Thy name, O Thou Most High. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at Thy presence. For Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destruction are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. their memory is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He shall prepare His throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. They that know Thy name shall put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Sing praises unto the Lord. Worship Him. Continue to live as we've been living, trusting in the Lord and in His power. I want to close by a passage of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, the first six verses. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In the situation that we're in today, if you lean to your own understanding, what are you going to do? You know, I don't understand at all. And the only thing I know to do is to keep doing as I've been doing. But I need to be reminded to trust God. I hope that we all can put our trust in Him. And again, as I said, be concerned, but don't be afraid. Take precautions, but don't worry, because the Lord is in charge and He will take care of you. And I pray that we'll all have that trust and confidence for Christ.